Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
We do.
Yeah, well, you have to.
I missed Eric Zorn last week.
Contractually obligated.
Yes. We don't want to, but the bosses have told us we must, so we do every week at this time.
So sorry.
How are you, Eric? Everything good?
I'm good, thanks.
One of your topics couldn't be more timely. Wendy's fresh back from a vacation from California and from Disneyland. And it wasn't you, but your co-writer, Mary Schmeiko, wrote a very interesting article.
Mary Schmeiko, PC, and I'm always happy to steal ideas from Mary,
sure.
After the fact especially, but about etiquette tips for your return. And I was actually thinking about this morning, coming into work. I was gone last week also.
Mm-hmm.
Mary points out that first of all, you should not... One of her tips is don't brag about how great your vacation was, that people really don't want to hear that you had a great time because they were here working.
But you want to acknowledge the fact that everything went well. You
and
know,
usually mine right? goes so horribly that it was right. nice to be able to right. say, we had a great time.
Yeah. And but her other point, which I think is worth saying, is be brief. Tip two is be brief. She says, when you return from vacation, polite people will ask you this question, and you may take it as license to describe everything, every meal, every hotel, every campground, every dirty rental car.
Mm. Sorry, I didn't listen to Mary earlier.
And she said, resist that urge. And this is a great line. She said, other people's vacations are like their dietary habits and sex lives, boring to anyone not directly involved.
But then don't ask.
It's obligatory to you want to acknowledge it all. You want to ask a little.
Well, she points out that saying how was your vacation is a bit like saying how do you do,
how are you,
or how's it
how
going.
Things?
Yeah, is that people don't really want you to say, well, sit down. I have a lot to say about that.
But do you remember a time? I don't know if it's just my family, but we had several relatives and even a neighbor or two who, upon returning from a vacation, you'd go to their house.
Oh, yes.
And you'd watch slides,
yes.
Like
the on the carousel.
Every detail. Yeah.
And watching the carousel go around going, okay, it's got to be coming back to zero.
But I kind of enjoyed it. I mean, sometimes the evenings got a little lengthy, but it was kind of fun to see everything that happened wherever they were.
It's like show and tell.
Yeah, it is kind of like show and tell.
Well, vacations can be really interesting. Mary goes on vacations that I think are fascinating. She goes to like this yoga retreat out in California where there's a lot of solitude. They are completely cut off from the internet, from any social media, anything like that. So they're basically there to meditate, do yoga, interact with one another, but not interact with the outside world. So she's like completely off the grid for a week. I think that's interesting.
That is interesting.
I think
why she doesn't want to hear about your vacation. She's busy meditating.
She's in her own headspace.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, but that would just drive me nuts.
I mean, I couldn't do it.
I would be tense all the time when mm-hmm. whatever was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was last week. I was since you didn't ask.
You weren't here last week.
I was not here.
Oh,
last week.
I wasn't either. So
Kristen McQuarrie sat in for me. She did a great job as usual. She's really good.
She's very good.
She is good.
Despite
yeah.
her politics, which I don't. But I love Kristen McQuarrie.
That was a subtle dig.
No, not subtle at all. No. I would say it to her face. She knows that. I was out. I was out in the mountains in North Carolina at an old time music camp.
Oh, fun!
It was great fun. And
run the slides. Can we see the slides?
You know, I brought in a few photos. No, I have some recordings that I want to play.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. But I couldn't, I had to watch, stuff about Helsinki. I had to follow all that. And
yeah.
This business that was breaking in Chicago about the barber who was shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Protests about that. So I'm like, in between these lovely sessions, this beautiful setting, and just playing music, and then everyone gets along out there. Everyone's really friendly. I didn't have a single conversation about Donald Trump all week.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Nice, isn't it?
Every conversation I have around here devolves to Trump in about 20 minutes, always.
Right.
And now, around them, people were just talking about
music
and dance and song. It was really terrific, but I was, of course, I would sneak away and read Twitter,
because you're a journalist. You got to keep up with things.
It's not just journalism. I think there are a number of people who are
busybodies.
No, they're compulsive about keeping up. It's like you don't you're looking at your email, you're looking at all these, you're looking at Facebook, you just always want to stay plugged in, which is why this vacation that Mary takes is so fascinating to me. I thought actually about seeing if the Tribune would sponsor me to go, and I'd write about it, after the fact.
Oh, good move.
Or have maybe both of us go on the same trip and then come back and report on our different experiences. I mean, I think I would be out of my skin in a day or two. Like, I want to know what's going on.
You never know, though. You might find
solace
in that.
I might get that sort of repose that Mary has that I don't have. So
normally when my wife and I take a trip, and even when the girls are involved, we have a rule, and it's mostly for me because I'm the TV addict in the family. Mm-hmm. No TV. Just enjoy the week, enjoy wherever we are, and don't worry about the TV. Now, we've amended it a little bit because during baseball season, I need to know what the Cubs and the White Sox are. I have to know. Yes. It's part of my job. But it really is.
It's not part of your job.
I've told them.
The narrator says.
I've explained to them it's very much part of my job. But I really, like, that first day is very strange where you go, wow, there could be something happening huge in the world. I don't know what it is. But by the second or third day, I love the fact that I'm not in tune with what's going on.
You're getting into it. Yeah, well, of course, the other thing that happens when you come back from this, and I followed the big news, but not the small news. I can read the Tribune online. I get the e-paper and everything like that. I did not open that during the
week. Not at all.
No, not that, but I was...
I was getting alerts,
and I was also on the Tribune website, not the e-paper, but the website, looking for the top stories. But I realized when I got back, and this morning I was actually, I spent most of this morning just reading the papers in the past week, looking through them all. And I realized how little I actually missed in terms of what I really needed to know, what I really had to find. I mean, well, it's a lot of interesting stuff.
Sure.
But nothing that...
Nothing you had to know.
You really had to know. I mean, I think this business with Trump in Helsinki, that was really important.
Sure.
That's something you needed to know. But, you know, all the other stuff, all the little, you know, various bits of ground pawing going on. I thought the story about Willie Wilson, that broke this morning, giving out cash.
Handing out money at church.
We had a really interesting discussion about that at work. You know, the people were saying that Willie Wilson's been doing this for a long time. That he's been doing this.
It was the fact that Bruce Rauner was so close, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah. And he was saying it wasn't a campaign event, but then it turns out that they were streaming the cash giveaway on his campaign website. But anyway, so Mary's point is, another thing. She said, don't complain that your vacation is over. People don't want to hear about that. And be tolerant of people who would rather talk about their own vacation than listen to yours. And this is a key one, is don't be insulted that some people didn't notice you were gone.
Like Bertrand said to me today, were you gone last week?
At least he had some inkling, right? I mean, I would say most people at my office when I came in today didn't say anything because people are in their own space, their own lives. I mean, you're on the radio every day. People do miss you, Wendy. I'm sure they'll
They notice I'm not there anyway.
It was a persistent...
So was there a formula? Did Mary discover some magic formula for exactly how much time you can recount what happened on your vacation, or is that...
No, I think she just basically says that you have to really gauge, try to figure out what the level of interest is.
Yeah.
You know, and the rule of thumb always is, you know, you say a little something, if someone asks you a question about it...
Then you can build on it.
You can answer that, and if they ask you another question, it's 'cause you can kind of, you read those clues, you know? It's like, you talk a little bit about what you did, and they say, oh, tell me more about that. Then maybe they really want to know. But if they say, oh, that sounds really nice.
Do you remember when...
Did you watch the All-Star game? No.
When Alex Haley wrote Roots. So I don't know exactly what year, but it was a bestseller. And a lot of people decided after Alex Haley went back and retraced his roots that they were going to do the same. My mom's aunt decided to do that. So she went back to Slovenia to look up what happened to her grandparents and great-grandparents.
Did she write a book?
So she did not write a book, but the whole family was invited to the house for a slide presentation. So the first slide took 4.5 minutes. She explained everything that we were looking at in the slide. And then I look over at the slide projector, those circular things where all the slides
are. Right, exactly.
There's about 110 slides in there. And I go, at 4 minutes per, I'm not going to make it to school on Monday. There's no way I'll be in school on Monday.
All right, well, the truth is that you know, the most boring thing to talk about are people's dreams, right? And you never want to hear about anyone's dreams. It didn't actually happen. It's not interesting at all. But genealogy, other people's genealogy is really tedious.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, and this person, she swept the palace floors for the czar. And you're like, well, who cares?
Right.
It's not my family. It's your family. So it doesn't really matter. The there was a podcast, of short-lived podcast, in which they had celebrities, and they did like genealogy of celebrities. Like, they went back and they traced. The first episode was Dan Savage, the sex advice columnist.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this could be interesting, and it was not.
became a TV show too. You
did
know,
it?
They did a TV version of that. Yeah,
1976 Roots came out.
Yeah, 76.
That's so. So it's you have to really gauge interest and realize that people are, you know, it can be fascinating. Genealogy can, if you want to find out that your, you know, great great grandfather Rob Banks or something like that, that's really cool. But
You don't want to know about other people's.
Nobody else cares.
Right,
nobody
I guess.
Nobody else cares.
It's Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune. I'll take a quick break and then continue after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Still left from Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Eric Zorn, fine, fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune. Eric, let's talk about longevity.
Let's talk about it. I want you guys to take a guess. What's the world record for human longevity?
The oldest somebody
the
has
oldest
ever lived.
Someone has ever lived.
Wendy, take a shot.
118.
Bill?
You go 121.
Bill's closer. It was 122. If he'd gone over, it wouldn't
have been. Yeah, okay.
I'm off by a year.
It's 122. It's a French woman named Jeanne Clément. And the interesting thing about this is that she set this record back in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the oldest verified. You know, you hear people say that people are older, but they could verify her age at 122.
Wow.
So the question, and so, you know, there's this joke about how the world's oldest person is always dying, and maybe there's a serial killer afoot. but nobody has even come within 3 years of her in this century. And it's the question. The question then is sort of how long can people live? What is the maximum lifespan of a human? And then these two professors, J.L. Shansky, who's at UIC, in professor of public health, and his friend Stephen Ostad, who's chairman of biology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and they've got this wager that they've made about whether human beings will be able to live to 150 years old by the year 2150. So basically,
we're out of luck.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Yeah, so the question is, is someone going to live that long? And Olshansky says no, there's no way that people can live that long. And Ostad thinks that there are going to be developments in basically therapies, medication and drugs that will make people allow people to live that long. So the person would be born, basically in the year 2000. And so will someone born in the year 2000 make it to the year 2150.
Oh, that's interesting.
They've got a wager on this, and of course, they're both in retirement age now, so neither of them expect to be around anywhere close to that. But what they put some seed money into a fund that they think is going to compound interest and investment income to be close to $1 billion.
Wow!
When that time comes, and the bet is that the descendants of each person will get that money. Now, there's a couple of things that are interesting about that. One is that if you could have, the fight over that photographer. There was that woman, I'm blanking on her name. She took all those great photos on the streets of Chicago.
Yeah,
and she was this loner. This woman nobody knew, and they found like her heirs, and there's a big fight over who owns these images because they're very valuable. I can imagine there being a huge fight over this money when this debt
right.
is finally settled.
Right,
because there's going to be all kinds of shirt tail relatives who are going to be able to claim rights to it. The other thing is interesting is that $1 billion, if the investment pays off, like that, is not going to be $1 billion. By today's standards, right? Because inflation
is future standards.
So it's going to be so it might only be maybe a couple million,
a few scant million, nothing to get excited about.
So it's split a bunch of different ways. But it really is interesting when you talk about what is the purpose of advancing lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the points that Olshansky makes in talking to him is that we figured out ways to regenerate and work on organs,
sure.
and hips and knees and so on, but they have yet to come even close to figuring out how to replicate neurons in the brain, so that your brain slowly decays, as we all realize looking around in our lives, is that the older you get, your mind starts to go, and they have never figured out how to do that. So the question is, the more we can prolong life, the more we're going to see this dementia setting in, and people, if you get somebody whose brain is 150 years old, the quality of life may be really close to zero. So there's this kind of debate or concern in people who are in this field of trying to extend human life is, can you extend human life and still extend the quality?
Yeah, that's
that
the
is
key
the
to this.
Key.
Like you can get people. There's some thinking that the average lifespan, which is right around 80 now, I think in the U.S., is going to go up to around 100. But the question is it going to be is 100 going to be the new 80? You know what I mean, in terms
is
of
is
like,
it 20 years better or
is it 20 years of good life, or is it just 20 years of people? Because I've known people who've reached 100, and it does not appeal to me when I see what that life is like.
Although I know a couple people, I'm sure you do too, who are in that bracket and are doing great.
People in their 90s I certainly know people in their 90s who are really sharp.
We had when it was Alzheimer's Awareness Month, so a doctor came up and explained to us that at 65, you're looking at 1 in 10 people are experiencing dementia or Alzheimer's. But when you get 60? To 85, it's 1 in 2.
At 65?
Yeah, 65.
Oh, man.
But at 85, one in two, half the people who get to that age, and that's an alarming number.
Right. And I'm not sure if that's classic Alzheimer's or if that's just kind of age-related dementia
or
whatever
that's what
the proper term is. But
Vivian Meyer, by the way, is the name of that artist you were speaking of from Rogers Park.
Who took the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thanks for the text.
Yes, Vivian Meyer, yes. Well, Olshansky says, he says, the brain is our Achilles heel. There's no evidence to suggest that we'll be able to halt the effects of daily loss of non-replicating neurons, much less reverse it. We can replace hips and hearts and knees, but we can't replace the brain. And yet, this other guy, Austeds, he says that there's two drugs that show a lot of promise in boosting longevity. One is an immunosuppressant that helps prevent rejection in transplant patients, and the other one is a drug that's used to treat type 2 diabetes. And these have shown to prolong the life greatly in mice. And it has shown some effect in humans as well. So they're thinking that maybe these drugs can, because if you could slow, I mean, mm-hmm. basically the idea is to slow the process mm-hmm. of the cellular loss. But it's a fascinating subject, I think, and the idea being that there's somebody out there might still be alive at the year 2150.
But right now, if you asked, you pick the number of people, how many of you want to live to 100 or 150?
Only you.
It's only me. It is only me. Everybody else.
And
can
he
ask.
Just wants to hit the number. He doesn't even care how he is.
I want to be 100. I want to make 100. I know that's crazy, but I want to hit 100.
Yeah, you want to be one of those guys in the nursing home where they Well, actually, the thing is, there's so many of them now that it's not even that big a deal. I don't think. Do they still do that on the Today Show? Where they remember
Willard Scott would always wish somebody a happy 100th birthday.
But I think there's so many of them now that would take up the whole show.
Right.
I know. It would just be the centennial show.
Eric, thanks for being here. We'll see you in a week. It's Eric Zorn. Everybody, read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what's coming up next. Wendy and I had to do the stream, but Steve has a Wintrust Business Lunch for you here on WGN.